Welcome back to the Uketropolis podcast. I'm your host, James Hill. In this episode, we're discussing the fine art of arranging. In other words, what to do after you've played the song one time through. There's more to life than just starting in the top left-hand corner and playing down to the bottom right-hand corner and stopping. We're also going to look at my absolute go-to favorite strategy for arranging. It always works, no matter what, if you're a performer, a teacher, a player. And we're also going to discuss why it is that one of the most important things that a singer can do is to not sing sometimes. What a huge impact that has on their ability to create interesting arrangements. So, lots to explore in this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in. As always, you can find my online ukulele courses, some free, some paid, over at uketropolis.com. Okay, let's get into some playing and arranging here. Kapila has a great question here. And the question is, James, you make the arranging and putting the whole song together look so easy. Kapila is also working on becoming a J-Hui certified teacher, and she's working on a song called All Night Long, which is a simple two-chord song in the key of C, not the Lionel Richie All Night Long. This one goes, all night long, all night long, all night long, from midnight on. If anyone asks you who wrote this song, tell them it was me, and I'll sing it all night long. Basically just a two-chord sort of early blues tune. And if that were all that you played when you got up on stage, it would be a very short performance. It would be a very short concert. The audience would not have time to really get into the performance before it was over. And if you, as a teacher or as a player yourself, fall into the trap of just starting in the top left-hand corner of the page, playing down to the bottom right-hand corner of the page, and stopping, well, then you are never getting past first base with the music. You're never really getting beyond the starting point. Okay, so that's what Kapila is talking about. You make putting the whole song together and arranging it look so easy. As you've demonstrated in the lessons prior to this, the arrangements are fairly complex for a beginner. So how do you suggest getting the same good feeling of an entire song that is very simply arranged without having to do it so formally? Okay, I see. So a little bit of background. My favorite go-to arranging template is this. Sing, play, sing. Now, anybody can remember that. Even in the heat of the moment when you're on stage or you're in a rehearsal or you're with your class, anybody can remember, sing, play, sing. What that means, sing, play, sing, what that means is you sing it through one time, just like I did. You start from the top left hand of the page and you go down to the bottom right hand corner of the page. That's one time through. And then you go back. And instead of singing it all, you play it on the uke. Now, ideally, this is a combination of melody and chords. Now, if it was an ensemble, that would be easier to do. But we're playing the thing. We're not singing the same thing anymore. We are playing the thing. And then the final step, we're going to sing it again. Now, ideally, maybe you have a second verse, something that creates a little bit of variation. But basically this sort of like sing sandwich, right? Like sing, play, sing, is my go-to default arranging template for basically everything that I do. and certainly everything that I teach. So very quickly, you can get this happening. And I don't think that this is too much to ask from even a beginning group, because that playing part, the sort of meat in the sandwich, the central point there, even if I'm in a jam session with folks who are not 100% confident on the instrument, I can just get them to strum, and other people might pick the melody, or maybe I'll pick the melody, or let me see, what else could we do? We could even play the rhythm of the melody on a single note. Maybe that's their thin edge of the wedge as they start to explore instrumental playing. How about that? That sounds great. And it's a bona fide instrumental break. And there, they have a time through where they can just play. That's really cool. It's really powerful. Without that meat in the sandwich, a little break from the singing, your arranging options are really limited if you don't have the ability to occasionally not sing. That's very important. For any singing group or singing performer or person who loves to sing a lot, their options are greatly enhanced if there are some times where they can figure out how not to sing. And in the case of the ukulele, that could be just strumming the chords. It could be playing a little solo variation. It could be doing a single note rendition like we just heard. But you have to have some way to get your group or yourself to not sing. It's a beautiful thing, and it really opens the possibilities. And so I'm saying to Kapila, as you can tell from me talking here, my favorite arranging sort of template is still sing, pick, sing. And eventually, I'm going to add on to that on either end. I'm going to add an intro and an ending. So this, you know, we've had the sandwich, and now we're going to have the clubhouse sandwich. The clubhouse sandwich is where you start with an intro, and then you do sing, pick, sing, and then you add an ending. That's the clubhouse sandwich. And that can be done very quickly and easily with even a beginning group. I often do this with school-age groups whom I've never met. You know, like I'm coming in cold. I've got 35 minutes with a group. I can still get to this point. I can still get to this clubhouse sandwich. Let me show you what I might do then for this intro and ending with a group that I'm only going to see for half an hour and who's never played the song before. The intro might literally be me strumming and them getting ready and looking at me. And the intro is this. Okay, everybody, we're about to sing. Eyes on me. Look up. On the count of three, we're going to sing. Here we go. One, two, three. All night long. And then we're into it. But did you see what I did for the intro? I mean, it's actually just me warming up the room. It's sort of me creating a musical space and initiating the arrangement. It doesn't have to be more than that. Now, of course, it can be more than that. One common way of doing an introduction is to just do the last couple of chords in the piece. And everybody can do this. All night long, right? Using the last two chords or three chords in the piece, whatever sounds best, and tacking that on at the beginning, great way of developing a simple intro, which recycles material that you've already learned. So that's a nice way to do it. The ending, in this case, for this particular song, you know, I say to students when I'm teaching this, I say, and then we're going to do an ending. And I'm going to teach you the ending right before we play the ending. Now let's go. And I just sort of let it hang in the room that they're like, what? Like, you're not even going to tell us what the ending is before we start playing the song? No, let's go. And they think it's going to be a complete train wreck. And it's one of the ways that I like to have fun with a group of students of any age, is I like to induce a little bit of panic into their lives. This is one of many, many examples of that. You know, telling them they're going to do something that they think is impossible. I'm going to teach you the ending during the song about 5 seconds before we play the ending. Well, to a beginner who's just barely struggling to hang on for dear life, that sounds like an impossible task. And that's exactly what I want. I want it to sound impossible. I want them to be sweating all the way through this, worrying about the ending coming. I don't want them to be comfortable. I want them to be panicking, because I know for a fact that it's all going to work out, and that they are going to see me as the person who made it work out. And it's like having the disease and the cure. I introduce the panic, but then I also, in very short order, alleviate the panic with the solution. And the students start to not only gain confidence in themselves that they can do hard things and that they can be in stressful situations and see themselves through, which I think is very important as the father of an 8-year-old. This is something that I'm really trying to drive home. But it also increases their confidence in me that I can help them navigate through difficult situations. And okay, maybe I'm overthinking this, but I think that's the subtext for moments like this when you're a teacher. And they're little things, but they all add up over time to a feeling of trust and confidence. Trust and confidence together do good things for students. So at the very end, if the train don't come, something's wrong on the road. Play that again. If the train don't come, something's wrong on the road. Play that again. If the train don't come, something's wrong on the road. Now put your first finger on the first fret of the first string and play it like it's the last chord you'll ever play. Very much, and good night, everybody. And just like that, they've played this cool ending that they didn't know was coming. Maybe they've already played the C7 chord, but the C7 chord is a beautiful ending. It's that "and many more" kind of an ending, right, that we've all heard. They recognize that as being, you know, a piece of sort of music grammar that they've heard before. And it's the kind of chord that's very easy to call out on the fly. First finger on the first fret of the first string. Now play it like it's the last chord, right? Those kinds of phrases and that kind of language, which I have in my back pocket, I'm not inventing this on the fly. It's stuff that I've done a million times before. That allows me to have a lot of fun with these students and allows them to feel really proud of what they achieve, that it can all come together quickly, not entirely effortlessly or painlessly, because I have fallen into the trap so many times of trying to protect my students from stress and pain, trying to protect them and shelter them from every possible bit of difficulty. And I always find, I would say nearly 100% of the time, I always find that backfires. I don't know how you feel about this, but whenever I try to protect a student from something, I find, by and large, they get bored. That is the result of trying to, as Chalmers Doane says, trying to put a fence around every puddle. I'm more guilty of that than I would like to admit, but I'm learning slowly that falling on your face into a musical puddle is not the end of the world. And you do learn a lot from those situations. So for myself, I'm trying to leave more of those opportunities open. I find that students love to rise to a challenge if it's an appropriate challenge. They love to rise to that challenge. The feeling of sinking their teeth into something that is just beyond their reach, but they can grasp, is so satisfying. And I think that's true for students of all ages. So the idea of introducing a little bit of challenge, or, you know, as I put it, maybe a little too dramatically, introducing a bit of panic when you know that you can alleviate the panic in short order, that creates sort of an educational sort of updraft as the trust and the confidence rise together. So Kapila and I, as you can tell, had an interesting discussion about this. I hope that brings you guys in on that discussion and stimulates some ideas and thoughts of your own on this topic. That all comes from arranging in terms of, you know, which part do we play of the song to create a performance, but it also has these deeper sort of implications, psychological and social implications around learning, which I think are fascinating. So thank you, Kapila, for the interesting discussion. I appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of the Uketropolis podcast. Before I go, I just want to let you know that Ukeheads, that's my ukulele band, my international ukulele band of mystery, the 165 people who recorded with me on my latest album, we have a new single that is out now and that you can enjoy for free. The song is called Hearts on Fire, and it truly rocks. That's all I'm going to say. Go have a listen for free. Watch the animated lyric video that we have at ukeheads.com. The song is called Hearts on Fire. It's also on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music. Enjoy.